Chapter 16.
Brightwood?
Griss's face swam into my vision, and I blinked rapidly as I tried to focus on what he was saying. After the councilman declared the official end of the trial, the noise in the hall grew to a cacophony that left me nearly insensate, and the ringing, ringing, ringing in my head was a constant companion that left me almost paralyzed.
Alex?
Amaya's face was suddenly there too, and even though I couldn't really hear her words, I could read the shape her mouth made.
We need to get out of here.
Come, the royal guest suite has been prepared, and the rest of your family has been moved there while you had been undergoing the duel,
Griss said as he ushered us away from the din, and I was relieved when my normal hearing came back now that we were in the corridor.
Are you well, Brightwood? Yeah,
I gruffed out through my ragged throat that was sore from all the screaming. By the looks I got from the Terrans, the Augur Mage, and Horus, I could tell my answer was not very convincing.
You look like death, my friend,
Siskern commented with a shit-eating grin, and when my tired feet stumbled over one of the uneven stones on the floor for a second time, he and Horus both ducked under each of my arms and helped me the rest of the way.
I could have walked, you guys,
I mumbled out a token protest as we entered the large living space. The truth was, it seemed like I was leaking energy with every step I took, and I was pretty sure I would have ended up on my face a couple of times if it weren't for Siskern and Horus. Dead silence greeted us like a slap in the face once the doors closed behind us, and I blinked as I took in the sight. The living space, aka Dracula's summer home, was a combination of lavish and gaudy, with dark red fabrics and lacquered black furniture similar to the trees in the forest I saw earlier. Three sofas sat in a semicircle around an ostentatious fireplace, and heavy draperies framed the high-arched windows. Then on either side of the space were matching staircases that led to what I assumed were the rooms. Zoe was pacing herself up into a frenzy in front of a large fireplace, while Rylan and Shay sat on one of the red velvet sofas with matching grim expressions as they stared into the flames. Nemus and Jenner each sat with a book on a giant fur rug, or in Jenner's case, seven books to pass the time. But then everyone's eyes landed on us, and all other activities were forgotten.
Horus, what?
Zoe rushed over after she snapped out of her stupor. This seemed to have a chain reaction because everyone then rushed to their feet as my cat wife came up to peer into my face.
Alex?
Okay, kitten.
I tried to smile at her, but I could feel how strained it was on my face.
Let's get him to a couch, Horus suggested.
Yes, let's,
Shay said with a false cheer in her voice.
And then you can explain to all of us how bringing my husband back in this state is anything close to it'll be fine, Shaylee, absolutely fine.
What's wrong with him?
Nemus asked.
And where in the dark hells did you go? There we were, waiting politely on the train as only good hostages can, when Sentinel Griss's men tell us they need the Augur Mage. Jump to the point where we're all suddenly treated like royalty. Captive royalty, but the place is nice, I suppose.
The zany raccoon man continued to prattle on, but the rest of what he was talking about got lost when Amaya took over.
They needed Anna and I to step in concerning the trial when the loyalty of their own Augur Mage came into question,
the Oryx woman said as she crouched in front of me with a concerned look on her face.
Why was there a trial in the first place?
Shay asked as she took a seat on my right while Zoe sat on my left.
The scat-kicker who worked for the Asher Lord wanted the councilman to believe Siskern killed his brother in some sort of plot,
Horus explained, while the Terrans brought over trays of steaming liquid with the help of Jenner. He was forcing the Terran Augur Mage to implant false memories in their heads, but because Alex fought the compulsion, he got the worst of it.
What do you mean, the worst of it?
Zoe demanded, and her question set off a chain of overlapping questions from Shay, Rylan, and even Nemus. My head throbbed like there was a large tear in the center of it, and I dug my fingers into my eye sockets.
Everyone,
I groaned out, and something in my shattered voice must have caught everyone's attention because they all stopped talking.
One at a time, please.
Here.
Siskern handed me a steaming mug of tea that smelled like pine needles, but it immediately lessened the rawness racing along my skull.
Thanks. I grunted and took a tentative sip. It was awful in that harsh, medicinal way, but it soothed my throat, so I kept drinking.
Why aren't you like this, Siskern? I feel like I've just been fed to Feely twice over.
I definitely got away better, it seems, the raptor man said, and offered me a piece of warm flatbread.
It's like I said.
Amaya's voice was lowered now like a soothing balm to my sensitive ears, and I gave her a grateful smile.
You didn't fight the compulsion to speak those lies Pharaoh was feeding you. Alex did. He shattered the lies over his mind like glass, but that doesn't mean the shards are gone.
That's a good way of putting it, I said, as I squinted around the room lit up from the afternoon sun.
Broken glass. Ow!
Ryland, sweetheart, please close the drapes.
Shay murmured in a lowered pitch, and I nearly sobbed in gratitude as the cool darkness eased some of the burning.
Husband, when was the last time you meditated?
Zoe's soothing voice purred right by my ear, and I shuddered from how even that seemed too much.
I don't know,
I croaked, and flinched when I felt Amaya's hands cradle my face again.
It's been a while,
the Oryx woman tisked, as the tingle of her knowing touch flowed through me, and I almost jerked out of her reach again at the feeling. Had her touch always been so noticeable before? I never really registered it, but now the currents under her palms felt not just warm, but like ants were marching along my skin with their prickly feet. For a moment, it was the only thing I could focus on, and I became trapped inside an odd loop I couldn't completely break out of. It was like I was the Tin Man, aware but rusted, as I hyper-fixated on the way her touch grated on my live-wire nerves.
Oh, Alex, I'm so sorry. Hold on.
I heard a rustle of something, and then Amaya's hand was back, but sheathed in a soft glove that muted some of the pain.
As I was saying, there is damage inside him. He seems to not be able to filter certain things out. Is it something I might be able to help with?
Shay asked.
I don't know,
Amaya said, and I cracked open my eyes.
There you are, darling. I'm sorry I didn't understand before.
What's happening to me?
I managed to get out, and I took another shaky sip of tea that Jenna replenished and shoved back into my hands.
Let me try,
Shay insisted, and I noticed her tears were already starting to gather in her beautiful emerald eyes.
He can barely function like this. Try it,
Amaya said after a brief hesitation and moved aside so Shay could crouch in front of me. With a sigh, my wife closed her eyes and breathed as if it was a relief to finally let her tears free. Hauntingly beautiful tears streamed down her face, but no matter how ethereal the Phoenix woman looked in the dim light, the tears refused to manifest as anything but regular tears.
It's not working,
Anwar murmured, as Horus came up and put his hands on his sister's shoulders. Shay swiped angrily at her tears and sniffled.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm just...
Shh. Sweetheart,
I said, and I brought her in for an embrace.
It's all right. You're probably just worn out from keeping us all together.
But Alex, you're suffering,
she said.
I think I'll pull through, I said with confidence,
even though my own voice sounded harsh inside my own head.
I think I just need some sleep. Just get me to a bed that's horizontal, and I'll meditate after the banquet. That should help.
Banquet?
Zoe queried. Just then, a knock came from the suite door, and a guard came in with another servant who was wielding a scroll.
Excuse the interruption, Ambassador Brightwood, but the councilman wanted to transfer the Chamberlain's assets over to you to be swift,
the man said, and he handed the document over to Jenner's waiting hands.
Good day.
And with that, we were all alone again.
Alex, did you just win a duel?
Jenner asked, as he took off his monocle so he could look at me in shock.
Oh, yeah, I said in a daze. There was also that.
The questions started up again, but thank Mercedes for Horus because he put his foot down.
Let me be the one to regale you on that epic tale, but first, our hero needs his beauty sleep,
the Falcon Man said, as he quieted everyone and helped me to my feet.
Thanks, I whispered to him,
even if I was not exactly ready to even admit to myself how hard staying conscious was all of a sudden.
Don't worry about a thing, Chief,
he said, and patted me on the back.
I've got it from here.
I won't leave out a single dashing feat of yours.
I have him,
Zoe then said as she looped my arm around her strong shoulders and carted me off to one of the rooms. I spent a moment appreciating the opulent bed as my catwife helped me take off my boots. But when she helped me get under the blankets, I was completely gone before I could even register her sweet kiss on my brow. The dreams I had were painful, hazy things that were confusing at best and terrifying at worst. One dream in particular felt like I dropped through an endless hole, like in the game Portal when the portals were stacked on top of one another. Only here I was endlessly falling through the Dark Realm with the wind howling in my ears as the breath was snatched from my lungs. When I finally came to a halt, it was because the dream decided to slam me back into my body, and I woke from my fitful sleep with a gasp. Even though the drapes were still drawn, I could tell night had definitely fallen, and I took a moment to just lay there in the dark while my heart rate fell back down to more normal levels. My body still ached, even though I knew the sleep had done me good. Overall, it felt like it was the day after recovering from a really bad flu, and I had half a mind to just curl up and go back to sleep, but the memory of endlessly falling kept me from that mistake.
Dad?
A curious voice piped up from the crack in the doorway.
Rylan.
I heard a low voice say my son's name, but the rest of it was lost behind the door.
But I think he's awake now,
Rylan responded, and he didn't even bother to lower his voice. So if I wasn't awake already, I most definitely was now. In or out, kid, I chuckled, and he grinned and came into the room as I pushed myself up to a sitting position.
I'm going to turn up the lights, okay?
Rylan's shadow cut across the room to the oil lantern mounted on the wall. Yeah, but go slow, I cautioned, when I remembered how sensitive literally everything was only a few hours ago.
Okay,
he said, and with the rusty squeak of a knob being turned, a soft orange light lit up the room.
Hey, you look less like shit.
Good, I grumbled and swung my legs over the side of the bed so I could sit on the edge of the mattress.
Oh, wait, I'll have something for you. Hang on.
Rylan zipped out of the room and had another murmured conversation with Zoe from the sounds of it. Then, just as I was about to test actually getting out of bed on bones that felt like 90 years old instead of 25, Rylan came back in with a tray and two familiar mugs with steam rising from their rims. Ugh, not more of that tea, I groaned.
No, it's not a promise,
he said, and set the tray on the side table. Then he dragged a small cushioned chair up so he could face me as he passed me a mug. What is it, then? I asked, as I peered into the depths of the maroonish drink. My nose was a little clogged, so I couldn't really smell it, but the creamy, frothy beverage looked familiar.
Mom had a bag of Papa sweets she was saving, and I made that chuck hotlet stuff for you,
Rylan said, and I couldn't keep a grin from tugging at my lips no matter how hungover I currently felt. You made this for me? I hid my smile by taking a sip of the weird sour dark chocolate drink we both improvised back when we had our heart-to-heart about his heritage.
I thought it would help, especially because we ran out of Coley long before Soaring was docked.
He sighed wistfully, and I chuckled again. It struck me just then how this caring and conscientious kid was somehow the product of such a cruel bastard as Cavo Alda. And I was suddenly panicked about what to do with this knowledge. With everything going on, I hadn't really had time to fully process everything Amaya told me, let alone figure out how to tell Rylan, or even if I should.
Dad?
Rylan interrupted my thoughts, and I glanced up at his wide-eyed expression.
Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine. I promise, kiddo, I said. And I was pleased to find that statement was pretty much true. Now that I was awake, some of the deeper aches were starting to fade, and even though the dull ringing was still present, it was easily ignorable. This drink, though? This is brilliant.
Good.
He sat back in his chair with a smug smirk, and we both finished our drinks in easy silence. Hey, bud, I said as I put my empty mug aside. I'm glad you're here.
Even though I snuck onto Soarin' and pissed off the Regent.
He smirked and set his own empty mug down on the tray next to mine. Yeah, even so, I laughed and ruffled his hair. A brief moment lapsed between us, and I thought about going there with our conversation again, but I changed my mind last minute and figured I needed to talk to my wives about it anyway. I'd already made up my mind about a few things, namely leaving him here with Jenner while we descended down to the lower echelon. That might prove to be a battle in itself, so I didn't see the harm in holding back just a little longer.
Oh, well.
He trailed off as he pushed my hand off his head with a bashful smile.
That's good. Oh, by the way, I was also supposed to tell you, Mom says you should get ready for the banquet.
Ugh. I groaned again, but this time theatrically, as I flung out a hand toward him. Help your elders. Rylan laughed as I basically draped myself all over him, until he had to try to push me off or suffer being crushed under my weight. And from there we devolved into playful squabbling until Zoe needed to break us up, so I could actually do what she said and clean up for the Terran banquet, which was supposedly being held in my honor. When my two wives, Horus, the mech sisters, and me were all scrubbed up with hot water baths and dressed in more of those fine silk-like clothes, a V-neck tunic, vest, and harem pants that seemed to be the Terran style, we were then escorted to the ballroom-slash-banquet hall, where the party was already well underway. Several minstrels with stringed instruments wandered in and out of the milling crowd as they regaled the people in song, and each rectangular table was heaped with boiled meats of all types alongside platters of that interesting flatbread. Beautiful serving women in scanty clothing walked around with trays full of tiny cups of the Candor whiskey, which I made sure to steer clear of. So when a tray came by that held the tankards of ale, I gladly took it upon myself to snatch one.
Brightwood, Councilman Hess called from the head table situated on the raised dais and motioned with his chubby hand, and I looked up at the VIP situation with dread.
On Hess's right were several Ashers who looked vaguely familiar from the trial, one of whom was the long-necked Bardas, while the councilman's left side had three spaces clearly open for my wives and me, as well as lower leader Zaire. Great.
Have fun up there, Horace said as he snatched his own tankard.
Me and the ladies will just be over here enjoying the band while you fricks-frocks with the nobles.
Jerk, I muttered.
I'm also pretty sure that's not how you use that word.
Whatever, Mr. Popularity.
The Falcon Man rolled his eyes and bumped my shoulder playfully.
Get up there. The sooner you can rub elbows with that lot, the sooner we can all be done with this whole affair.
All right, I grumbled and took a bracing drink of my ale before I led my wives over to the councilman's head table.
Wonderful of you to come to your own banquet,
Zaire sneered right as we sat down.
Glad it wasn't too much trouble. It is only in your honor.
I'm sorry for being so late, I said over the snide alligator elder's misplaced grumbling. If anything, the man looked like he was as uncomfortable with this type of opulent and frivolous setting just as much as I was.
Sit, sit,
Hess dismissed with a drunken wave of his hand.
I'm glad I remembered you folk on Nata deign to have your wives and concubines sit at the table with you and thought to plan ahead.
Oh, thanks, I said, and cast my eyes about for Hess's wives. But I didn't have to look far because I spotted both of them standing along the back wall with a handful of other women. However, it was easy enough to mistake them for some sort of special elite guard or something, because they were all bedecked in armor, had deadly-looking melee weapons attached to their belts, and curiously, they were all Varthan, like Zoe.
Like what you see?
The Stegosaurus man asked as he caught my gaze.
What am I saying? Of course you do. You married one of them. Mela, Issa, come here, my angels. I want to introduce you.
The two Varthans who were standing directly behind Hess came forward out of the shadowy alcove they'd been standing in, and I was able to see them more clearly. The first thing that struck me was how much bigger these two Amazonian women were compared to Zoe, and when I glanced at my catwife, I saw her shrink in her seat a little as she purposefully kept her eyes on the table.
What is it my lord husband wishes?
The woman on Hess's right asked with a regal purr to her voice. She was a striking woman with a fuchsia buzz cut and the markings of a golden leopard, and she looked at me like I was her next snack.
Issa, this is Lord Brightwood. You remember him, right, Mela?
The Stegoman glanced at his second wife, a svelte Black Panther woman.
Issa and I observed him bear the ceremonial shield the longest during the tithing.
Mela responded in a voice as stoic as stone.
Yes.
Issa purred as she eyed me with her vivid green eyes.
Has he reconsidered giving us a sample of his mighty essence? I'm sure we could bear many mighty warriors for you, Lord Husband, if he is as potent as his reputation precedes.
Reputation? I nearly choked on my ale.
I'm afraid my Lord Husband's essence is not up for negotiation.
Zoe suddenly snapped out, and her ears were pinned back against her head as she glared between Issa and Mela like she was just waiting for a single twitch from either of them to start tearing out throats.
Ho-ho!
Hess laughed, as he stuffed his piggish face with more meat and bread.
That's the Voth and Fire old warriors possess. Not only are they vibrant between the sheets, but they also come in handy for a spot of protection. Wouldn't you agree, Brightwood?
There's no one I would rather have by my side in a battle than my Zoe, I said diplomatically. And I smiled at my wife when her ears perked up again.
I shouldn't wonder,
the Stegoman boomed and waggled his scaly eyebrows at Zoe.
See, Ambassador, Tear isn't completely isolated from trade agreements like Regent Siskern would have you believe. Tear and Vartha have enjoyed a mutual arrangement in which Terran duelists are allowed first pick of their stock before their viable women are sent to the traders. True beauties like my Issa and Zora cost premium gold, but they are worth every coin when the red sky comes. Tear has whole harems of concubines that double as infantry at a moment's notice, and they are all ready to take up arms and defend us from the Scourge.
Let us be clear, Hess. Zare broke in. The upper echelon is afforded that protection, not the lower.
Mercedes, Bartus was right. You really can't just let it go for one measly banquet.
The councilman whined like someone had just pissed in his juicy juice. The alligator man rounded on Hess like he was going to rip him a new asshole 6 ways to Sunday. But when he opened his mouth, the hall went sickly red, and that jarring subterranean howl shook the palace until the windows rattled. Red moon, red sky. There really was no rest for the wicked.